Let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask for his blessing. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless you again, as always, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, for everything that you are, for your grace and mercy, for your faithfulness to us in Christ Jesus, and his faithfulness to accomplish our salvation. We thank you for the message of the cross, by which we have been reconciled, made holy, justified, perfected, by the blood of Christ. We thank you for the testimony of the Holy Spirit about the Christ, his faithfulness, and our hope in him, our blessed hope and assurance. Lord, I pray now for help as I go into word to speak that which is faithful and true, and I pray for those who shall hear, that you cause them to hear from the Spirit, to hear the truth as it is in Christ. Lord, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 And today, hi and good morning. Today we are going to have our teaching from the book of Luke. We are going to do our teaching from the book of Luke. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. This is a familiar story, the story of the 10 lepers, the story of the healing of the 10 lepers. And we want to go in there and expound the story and extract gospel understanding from it. Luke records, or recorded for us, and said, Luke 17, 11 to 19. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Sermon titles, I think we have 3. Number 1, Jesus in the leper colony. Jesus in the leper colony. Number 2, they stood afar off. They stood afar off, or they stood a distance. And number 3, and he was a Samaritan. And he was a Samaritan. In our story, we have another note of the Lord's travels towards Jerusalem. He was traveling in between the border of Galilee and Samaria, the border that divided the Gentiles from the Jews. Galilee was Jewish country, Jewish territory, whilst Samaria was the place of the Samaritans. The half-breeds between the 10 northern tribes and foreigners, the Assyrians, and those that were brought by the conqueror from Babylon and elsewhere to take the places of the expatriated Israelites. When the northern kingdom was conquered, they were taken away, and a lot of foreigners were brought in, and these foreigners also interbred with some of the people in the northern kingdom, and we had the Samaritans. So as Jesus entered into a certain village on the border between Samaria and Galilee, this is very important. Okay. He was met by 10 lepers. Verse 12 of Luke 17. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They stood at a distance. The Lord was met by 10 lepers in this leper colony or village. Only lepers lived in this place because they were lepers. They had leprosy. And what did the lepers do? The text said they stood far off. They stood far off. Why? Because of Leviticus 13, 45 to 46, which says, now the leper on whom the soul is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. He shall be unclean all the days he has the soul, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Hear that. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. So they stood afar off because they were unclean. The law pronounced them as unclean. The law commanded them to stand from a distance. The law could not help in the cure of their uncleanness. It could only recognize whether one was unclean or clean. They stood afar off because Jesus was clean and they were unclean. They could not draw towards that which was clean. The sinner under the law can only remain standing at a distance from God, separated from God. Understand where we're going with this? All the commandments of the law see every sinner as one with leprosy. They see them as unclean. That is the purpose of the law. It is to diagnose every sinner and show that they are full of leprosy, that they have leprosy, and they should stand afar off from God. They can't approach God in and of themselves. And that is clear teaching. Okay? Numbers 5, 1 to 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper. Every leper has to be put out of the camp of Israel, out of the community of Israel. Everyone who has a discharge and whoever becomes defiled by a corpse, you shall put out both male and female. You shall put them outside the camp that they may not defile their camps in the midst of which I dwell. So this matter is no respecter of persons, both male and female. And the different ways that this would come, having a discharge, touching a corpse, all these would defile a person. And God says, I don't want them in. They have to go outside of the camp. A sinner, you and me, we defile every place that we are. Whatever we touch or handle, sit on, becomes unclean. That is the teaching of leprosy. Whatever a sinner does becomes unclean. It becomes unclean before God. It doesn't matter what it is that they're doing. As long as you put your hand to it, it becomes unclean. So this matter of sin, as far as God is concerned, is actually worse than dealing with COVID-19. With COVID-19, you have your face mask, you have your sanitizer, you have all this social distancing stuff. Well, when it comes to leprosy, the social distancing is not 6 meters. You have to be kicked out of the camp. Okay? So there's no way to jerry-rig obedience to the law if we really understand what the law is saying. Hear this from Leviticus 5, 2 to 3. Or if a person touches any unclean thing, whether it is the carcass of an unclean beast or the carcass of unclean livestock or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and he is unaware of it, he also shall be unclean and guilty. It doesn't matter. Even if you are ignorant of your sin, guess what? You're unclean and you're guilty. And if you're unclean and you're guilty, guess what? You're going to need atonement. Otherwise, you have to go outside of the camp. Verse 3 of Leviticus 5. Or if he touches human uncleanliness, whatever uncleanness with which a man may be defiled, and he is unaware of it, and he realizes it, then he shall be guilty. Whatever an unclean person touches becomes unclean. Whatever an unclean person touches becomes unclean, and that is very, very clear teaching to say it is impossible for a sinner, one born in Adam, to please God by anything that they do, because you can only please God by that which is clean. You can only please God by faith in Christ. Christ, who was never defiled, was holy, undefiled, and separate from sinners. So it is impossible without faith to please God. And so the salvation question is, according to Job 14 verse 4, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? No one. No one is the answer. No one born in Adam. If a clean thing shall come out of the unclean, that is you and me, it has to be by the work of another, a representative person, a Christ person, a clean person who is willing to make you clean. You can't change your diaper when it comes to the matter of sin. There's no child who changes their diaper. Okay? If you do that, guess what? They're going to create a much bigger mess than what was already there. And that's exactly with the matter of sin. Any attempt to remove sin by our own hands is only going to make it worse. The uncleanness continues to spread even more and around. Whatever, remember, whatever an unclean person touches becomes unclean. So in the Old Testament, under the law, the Lord God appeared in the midst of his people, a sinful people, to dwell among them. And when God appears, it has to be understood that he is holy, and he has to teach about his holiness. God appeared in the midst of his people that he may teach them about himself, about his holiness, and what he requires of salvation, what he requires of a sinner to be made clean. And if anyone had to leave or approach the Lord, they had to be holy. They had to be holy. But God taught holiness in the Old Testament through physical things. Physical holiness symbolized or was just a picture of spiritual holiness. But it was not the reality of it, because the spiritual holiness cannot be found in one who is unclean. There's no spiritual holiness in one who is unclean. And yet God continued to teach them because he was looking forward to the coming of Christ, to the coming of the clean one. So anyone in the Old Testament who contracted an illness that rendered him or her ceremonially unclean could not fellowship with the Lord at the tabernacle or with fellow Israelites. the Lord was in the midst of Israel in the tent of meeting. The tent of meeting was the place where God appeared to meet with these people. So among those physical things that God was using to teach about uncleanness was leprosy. Okay? Leprosy, or an infection on the skin, that is infectious skin disease, or any bodily discharge of any kind, like seminal emissions and the manner of women. And all these resulted in what God called contamination and uncleanness. Once you had that, suddenly you became unclean. And obviously, God was teaching about deeper spiritual realities than that. Okay? So, included with that was contamination from a dead body. If one would touch a dead body, they would also become unclean and guilty, and they could not be in the camp with the people. Okay? So, these all rendered someone unclean until some purification rites had been performed. So you see the connection. This is what is happening. God has appeared and he's dwelling among a sinful people. And when that happens, there has to be some understanding of who they are as unclean and who God is as holy. And then how do we deal with that situation of not being clean? You need purification to be performed. If God appears, holiness has appeared, and all who are not holy in themselves have to be taught of him on how to approach the one who is holy, otherwise they will get killed. The matter of the gospel is God teaching us how to approach him who is holy and not die. Okay? If anyone is unclean, then there has to be atonement made for them to remove the uncleanness that they may approach God and not die. And when God appeared to dwell with these people, he came with the tabernacle system. This was God's solution to meeting with an unclean people. Because holiness is always killing, it is a killing holiness where there's no provision for atonement of sins, where there's no blood that makes atonement, that remits, that washes and cancels sin. And in the tabernacle, fundamentally, there was approach to a holy God whose presence appeared in the Holy of Holies by way of mediation of the God-appointed priesthood and sacrifice. And that means the God-appointed blood. God says, I'll meet you at the mercy seat, above the mercy seat. That's the meeting place with God. And all these things were qualified by God, and they could not have any spot or blemish. Otherwise, they could not be accepted. No spot or blemish on the sacrifice. No spot or blemish on the one who was making the offering. And that is the matter of which Christ was revealed, and the matter for which he came to grant us the way, the safe way to meet with God's holiness and not die. Meeting with God's holiness and not die. That's the matter of the gospel. All this other foolishness by a lot of people professing Christians shows that they don't really understand what they are dealing with. The matter is, God is holy, you and I are not holy, and you and I have an appointment to meet with him. How shall we meet with him who is holy and not die? Our biggest problem, my dear friends, is that we are sinners and that God is holy. If God was a sinner, then we would not have any problems. But he is holy and we are not. And there's nothing that we can do to cause our own holiness. If we should be made holy before him, it has to be by his own doing. God's holiness means God is separate from all his creatures. God is separate. He is none other than anything that exists. There's nothing like him. Okay? He is the only one of his kind. There is nothing and no one like the Lord. But the holiness of God also means he is pure in himself. He is pure. There's no sin to be found in him. He is all but light. And it is his purity that causes us problems who are not pure. The purity of God is what causes you and I a lot of problems, because he won't accept anything that is less than his own perfection. God is about himself. God is so much about himself. If he were a man, we would say he is very conceited. He is arrogant. He is self-centered. But when God is self-centered, he is saying, I am God. There's none like me. I am the sovereign one. I am the omnipotent one. I am the one who has existed from eternity to eternity. I'm the only one who has reason of existence that is found in myself. I exist because I am. God is. He exists in himself. He is self-sustaining. He does not need anybody. So this is the God that we're dealing with. He is holy and pure. He is righteous. So how do we as sinners approach him who is like that? Him who demands perfection for you to meet with him. Demands perfection, and he doesn't care whether you can do it or not. It's not about what you are able to do or not. It is about him. He is vindicating his own person. So anyone who claims that they are doing the law again is lying. Is lying, like really lying. They're deceived. Because the only way to claim that one is doing the law is to reduce the holiness of God to something that sinners can do by themselves. And by that, essentially saying that Christ died in vain. If you can do the law, then Christ died in vain. Holiness, my dear friends, is a state and nature of being that is who God is. That state and nature cannot be attained by do not touch, do not smell, do not handle. That's not how you become holy. God is not holy because he doesn't touch this, he doesn't. God is holy because that's who he is. He's not made holy by things that he doesn't do. He is made holy because that's who he is in his person. Here again, Leviticus 13, 45 to 46. Now the leper on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn and his head bare, and he shall cover his mustache and cry unclean, unclean. The person or persons who had leprosy had to have their clothes torn. What is that saying? It is saying leprosy was a picture of sin. Leprosy is a disease that affects the skin and goes even deeper. It affects the totality of the person, even the nerves. And God used it to preach and teach the matter of sin as an internal matter in an external way. In an accessible way for us to understand, God is using an outward expression of our sin in the matter of sickness. Our physical sickness, that's an external matter. The sickness of sin is a spiritual matter. The one who was a leper his clothes had to be torn, and that was testimony that they had no righteousness whatsoever. Once you have leprosy, your clothes have to be torn. That's a declaration that a sinner has no righteousness before God. You have to see your righteousness as having been torn into pieces because of sin if you should embrace God's message of salvation by grace alone. The sinner is one who has no righteousness of their own. They are a true leper. And the leper was to go about crying out, unclean, unclean, so that all would hear, and they also would hear themselves. Sometimes you need to hear yourself saying, unclean, unclean. But the testimony that we hear by many who profess to know Christ is how they chose. It's how they decided and invited Jesus and made him Lord and Savior. Sinner, please, talk about something else. Talk about your leprosy and your days in the leper village. A leper does not make Jesus anything. They only cry out, unclean, unclean. Stand at a distance and beg for mercy. Hear this again. A leper does not invite Jesus. A leper cries out, unclean. Unclean, unclean. And they stand at a distance and they beg for mercy. A leper cannot invite or approach Jesus by themselves. Jesus is he who has to pass through their village, the leper village, because the unclean stay outside of the camp. That's what God taught in the law. The unclean were to stay, were to live outside of the camp. Jesus came to you. You did not come to Christ. The unclean do not go to the clean. It is the clean who come to the unclean and touch them like Christ did to that leper in Luke chapter 5. Christ touched him to say, you have been accepted by me. You have been accepted by me. I will let the condemnation of your leprosy, the condemnation of your sin, come on me, and I'll make you clean, and I'll make you whole again. Leviticus 13, verse 46. He shall be unclean. All the days he has the sore, he shall be unclean. He is unclean, and he shall dwell alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. All the days that he shall have leprosy, they shall be unclean. And if it is one person, they shall dwell alone. They shall be by themselves in their sin, in the condemnation of their sin. My dear friends, your sin shall cause you to dwell all by yourself unless God does something for you to take you back, to cleanse you. God says, they are unclean and shall dwell alone, and his dwelling shall be outside the camp. The one who has leprosy shall dwell outside the camp. This is a very important point of our teaching. That's why we keep repeating it and hammering it. But guess what? Guess what? Hear this. Outside the camp is also the same place where you find Jesus walking. Outside the camp is also the place where Christ was crucified to make atonement for our leprosy. Exodus 33, verse 7. Hear this. Hear this. Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp. Hear this again. Far from the camp, far from the camp of Israel, and called it the tabernacle of meeting or the tent of meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was where? Which was outside the camp. the tabernacle of meeting, the God-appointed way of making atonement was found outside of the camp of Israel. And yet, outside of the camp of Israel is also where all those who had leprosy, all those who were unclean, were banished. The tabernacle was pitched outside the camp of Israel, and there one would or could go and seek the Lord. If one wanted to seek the Lord, they had to go outside the camp. The system for the atonement of sin under the law was pitched outside the camp. And so the writer of Hebrews comes and says in Hebrews 13, 12 and 13, therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him, where? Outside the camp, here bearing his reproach. Bearing his reproach. And so, the 10 lepers were where? Where were the 10 lepers? They were outside the camp. The 10 lepers were outside the camp. Here again, Luke 17, verse 11. Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Pay attention. I need you to slow down and understand what is being said. Now, as it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, this was outside the camp of both Samaria and Galilee. This was the border between Samaria and Galilee. This is what separated Samaria and Galilee. These were the outskirts of both Galilee and Samaria. So that if you were a leper in Samaria, guess what? You'd be in this leper colony. If you were a leper in Galilee, you'd find yourself in this same place. So these lepers had the same zip code. These lepers had the same address. They had the same address. Both Jew and Gentile. Samaria is Gentile territory and Galilee is Jewish territory. And when the lepers from Galilee and the leper from Samaria meet, they have the same zip code. They have the same address. They find themselves outside of the camp. Outside of the camp of both Samaria and Galilee. And there Jesus met the 10 lepers. So Jesus is to be found outside the camp of both the Jews and the Gentiles. Galilee, Jewish territory. And Jesus is on its borders. Samaria, Gentile territory, and Jesus is on its borders. And where these two territories meet and share their outside borders, Jew and Gentile sinners meet and they're found with leprosy. In this place, Jesus meets or finds those who have leprosy and have been banished. Why? Because Jesus is the outside, the camp kind of guy. The question, my dear friends, is, are you one of those who have leprosy? Because if you have no leprosy, you will not meet Jesus anywhere. Jesus is an outside the camp type savior. Check the circles of Jesus. Check the crowd that loved him. The crowd that he hung around. It was the outside the camp crowd. The crowd that was weighed heavily with sin. That is leprosy. The unclean folks are the outside the camp type of people. And Jesus would come and say, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. So Jesus did not take this route by accident. He did not meet these lepers by accident. There's none who knows the route that takes him to that place of lepers than Jesus. There's none who knows the route that takes. There's none who knows the route that takes him to the place of lepers than Jesus. Jesus does not go for those who think are righteous in themselves. Those who claim to have sinned only but a little. Remember the demoniac. He used to live by himself in the mountains, cutting himself in the cemetery. And yet, Jesus knew where he was, and Jesus came for him. That is the outside the camp type guy. Those who claim and say, but I grew up in church. I grew up inside the camp. I came to Christ when I was 4 years old. Be careful, my friends. You have to know of your outside the camp experience if you have to meet with Jesus. If you shall come to Christ, you have to have met him outside the camp. And that as a leper, as one who is a sinner, as one who is unclean. Jesus did not die to wash clean clothes. You do not buy a washer to wash clean clothes and dishes, but dirty ones. Christ shed his blood to wash some really dirty dishes and dirty clothes. Your dishes, your clothes, very dirty. Your sin, your leprosy. That's what Christ came to do. To wash them clean and make them white as snow. Verse 12 again. Of Luke 17. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. So Jesus met the 10 men who were lepers and they stood afar off. They stood at a distance from Jesus. See that it is not Jesus who stood at a distance from them. It is they who stood afar off because they understood their condition. They understood that they were unclean. When Peter understood who Jesus was at the catching of much fish, he fell down on his knees and said what? Thank you, Jesus, for that much tilapia. Thank you for all those brims. Thank you for the catfish. No. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man. If and when holiness has come, and your sin and mine have been exposed, we can only say, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I am undone, like Isaiah, I am ruined. The holiness of God is so much that you and I will be asking for God to depart from us, because it cannot be handled by that which is impure, by that which is unclean. Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, is a good and faithful testimony. And so they stood afar off because that is what the law said to be done. The law separated them from Christ. The law separated them from God. The law condemned them as unclean and unfit to approach God or fellowship with other men. And yet, God showed up to where they were. Christ came to where they were. Grace came. Grace found them. Grace always is looking for its people, looking for its own. The good shepherd always looking for his sheep and carrying them home, putting them on his shoulders. Tell the truth, my dear friend. Christ did not find you singing Amazing Grace in the pews. He found you in the leper colony, outside the camp. But before we leave this point, I want you to see that the lepers were very religious. they tried to keep the law by staying away, by maintaining their distance. But that was just religiosity. None of their attempts could ever make them whole, could never make them clean, could never make them acceptable. Because the law does not make whole, only Christ makes clean and whole. Only Christ makes clean and whole. The law does not make clean. Christ alone makes a sinner complete. Christ alone justifies, makes holy. Christ alone enables and has made us able to stand before God without any spot or blemish and beyond reproach. And that's scandalous. That's the scandal of the gospel. That one who has much leprosy, like you, who stand before God as holy and righteous, bears on nothing that you did. My dear friends, religious duty does not make a sinner clean before God. No matter how well it is observed, the lepers were standing from a distance, but they were never made clean by their observance of that. Verse 18 of Luke 17. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. They lifted up their voices to Jesus. You see, when you are really unclean, it is very easy to lift up your voice and ask for help. When you have no other options, you humble yourself and you cry out for help. Those who trust in themselves, those who are self-sufficient, do not want to ask for help. As my wife would say about childbirth, if you are not ready to take off your clothes in public and have your nakedness exposed, then you are not yet ready to have the baby. The labor has not yet come. You are not yet ready to be saved if you don't want your nakedness to be shown. Acknowledge your nakedness before God. The lepers in unison said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. When you have no other options of being clean, you don't speak long with Jesus. You do not have to have an all-night prayer with Jesus. Jesus said, let your words be few before God. What are you talking to God all night about? What are you talking to him about? Your words, if you're a leper in the leper village, are few. Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Your situation, your case is such that it requires only mercy. Mercy from one who is Christ. If you're still talking about you, then you're yet to enter into the leper village. When Jesus has showed up, please do not talk about yourself like the folks in Matthew 7, 20 to 23. Lord, Lord, did we not? They were talking about themselves. They should have been asking for mercy and say, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, a leper. It is interesting to me that these lepers, though they did not have a radio or internet access or even have a phone, they knew the identity of Jesus. They knew the identity of Jesus and what he was able to do for them. The man did not say, mercy for what? They just asked for mercy. When things are tight, you just call for mercy. You don't write a composition. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And thank God, Jesus knows what it means. You do not have to help him to understand it. He knows that a cry for mercy is a cry for salvation. Verse 14 of Luke 17. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Jesus issued them a command and said, go and show yourself to the priest. Whoa, Jesus. One does not go and show themselves to the priest before they've been healed or pronounced clean. What if I get there and discover that the leprosy is still with me? Jesus said to them, go and show yourself to the priest before the men were healed. What if I go there and still see that my nose is still deformed and parts of my limbs are still missing and my skin is still with the infection? Hear this from Leviticus 14. Leviticus 14 verses 1 to 7. We actually have a very good message, okay? The Lord has given us a very wonderful gospel message from this story. Leviticus 14, 1 to 7, Moses writes and says, then the Lord spoke to Moses saying, this shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought to the priest. He shall be brought to the priest. He shall be brought not to the men of God to perform a baptism, to dunk them in the water. Go to the Pope, go to the so-called Roman Catholic priest. This priest is not a Roman Catholic priest. This is Christ Jesus. The law of cleansing a leper, number one, the person has to be brought to the priest. Which priest? You know better now. Verse 3. And the priest shall go out of the camp. The priest shall go outside the camp. Follow the ordering of the statements by God. Christ the high priest has showed up outside the camp where the 10 lepers were to meet them. Leviticus says, on the day of the cleansing of the leper shall be brought to the priest and the priest shall go out of the camp. So Christ has showed up outside the camp where the 10 lepers who need to be cleansed are to meet them and talk about cleansing. Because when you see Jesus, my friends, you have to see him as the high priest who causes your cleansing. Don't see Jesus for anything that is not that. Because a lot of people are making Jesus about their politics, making Jesus about their marriages, making Jesus about their children. No, my dear friends, the matter of Christ is your meeting with him outside of the camp for the cleansing of your leprosy. Understand me? And what happens when the leper and the priest meet? Leviticus 14:3 continues, and the priest shall examine him, and indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, the priest shall examine the leper to see if the leper was healed. How? By them saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on me. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That is the sign that the leprosy has been healed in you. Your gospel testimony does not cause salvation. Rather, it confirms whether God has made you clean or not. I need you to really slow down and understand what I just said. Under the law, when someone had been cleansed, they had to go and show themselves to the priest. And the priest would make a physical examination to see if healing had happened. Now, to the matter of spiritual realities, to the matter of your salvation, God is not looking for the healing of your boo-boos. God is not looking to the stopping of your headache. God is looking to the testimony that you have, for from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The testimony of salvation, the testimony of healing is in you saying, oh, Jesus, have mercy on me because you've understood of your condition. you've understood of your condition of leprosy, that you are unclean and there's nothing that you can do to help yourself. A sinner cannot ask for mercy whom Christ did not die to cleanse. A sinner cannot come to God and ask to be cleansed to meet with the high priest. You see, when you are asking for mercy, you are asking to meet with Christ outside of the camp. And praise God, Jesus walks outside of the camp to meet with those with leprosy. Verse 4 of Leviticus 14. Then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed 2 living and clean beds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. The priest shall command a sacrifice of living and clean beds to be sacrificed for the cleansing of the leper. To say what? There's no inspection of leprosy that does not recommend the death of Christ as the solution. There's no testimony of healing from sin that does not speak of the death of Christ, the living sacrifice. Sin cannot be taken care of by a determination to remove it, to become a better person, by New Year's resolutions, by fasting, by all-night prayers, just as the leprosy could not be removed or healed by more determination to be well. Leprosy requires the shedding of blood. It requires the death of the God-appointed sacrifice by the God-appointed priesthood. Verse 5 of Leviticus 14. And the priest shall command that one of the beds be killed in an earthen vessel of running water. One of the beds had to be killed in an earthen vessel of running water. That means clean water. That's the point of running water. Not stagnant water, because stagnant water is unclean water. The running water, clean water, was a picture of the Holy Spirit. The bed had to be killed in an earthen vessel, and that is Christ, who had to be crucified in the earthen vessel of his human flesh. The sacrifice is being killed in an earthen vessel. So Christ Jesus, the God-man who took the earthen vessel of human flesh, is he who has to be sacrificed. These are some real excellent gospel nuggets. I am not lying to you, okay? Hear this from Hebrews 9, 13 and 14. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, pay attention to verse 14, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, killed in an earthen vessel over running water. The eternal Spirit is the Holy Spirit. Christ Jesus is God's sacrifice in the earthen vessel. Cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So the death of this bed was the picture of the death of Christ as the cause of the cleansing of the leper. Verse 6 of Leviticus 14. As for the living bed, he shall take it. The priest shall take it. The cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and dip them in the living bed in the blood of the bed that was killed over the running water. As for the living bed, representing the person who has leprosy, the living bed was to be dipped together with the cedar wood, scarlet, hyssop, in the blood of the bed that was killed over the running water. What was the result? The living bird was dipped. It was totally immersed in the blood of the other bird that died and had made atonement. So now this other bird that did not die was covered by the blood of the sacrifice. And he shall, verse 7, and he shall sprinkle it 7 times on him who is to be cleansed from the leprosy, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field. And this blood was to be sprinkled 7 times. Complete and perfect atonement for the leprosy. And the priest shall then pronounce him as clean. The leper was pronounced to be clean by the priest on account of the shed blood, not on account of their deeds. And then the text says, and then shall let the living bird loose in the open field, to say free at last, to say no condemnation for the one who had leprosy, total justification for the sinner who had leprosy. The bird that was dipped in the blood was representing the sinner, as I said. So as the bird was set loose, set free, so the sinner who is in Christ, who is dipped in the blood of Christ, has been set loose. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Do not be entangled again by the yoke of slavery, by the yoke that brings leprosy, the law. And if the Son of Man sets you free, you are free indeed, like that bird. That bird, it flew away and it was covered in the blood. As long as that bird has the blood, it's a clean bird. As long as we have the blood of Christ on us, we are clean, we are free. Christ has set us free. Christ has set us loose on account of the sacrifice of himself. That's the gospel. So Jesus said, go and show yourself to the priest. And he had also given the same command to the leper that he had healed earlier in Luke 5, verse 14. Hear this. In Luke 5, 14, we had the leper who came to Jesus in Luke 5 and says, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus said, yeah, I'm willing. Be clean. And Jesus touched him and he was made whole. The man was full of leprosy. So verse 14 of Luke 5 says, and he charged him, that is the healed leper, to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. Now that is coming from what we just read in Leviticus 14. Jesus touched this man who was full of leprosy from the head to the toe. He touched this unclean man, and yet Jesus did not become unclean in his person, but he carried the guilt on him because all the sins of his lepers were imputed to him. So the healed man, still under the law, went to the priest as Jesus had commanded, already clean. But in the leper village, Jesus did not touch them. And he commanded them to go and show themselves to the priests, and essentially to do the same thing as Moses commanded in the law. Jesus was here bringing another dimension, a different dimension, to the story of the second healing of the lepers, the healing of the 10 lepers. The matter of his own priesthood and his being despised by the Jews and yet embraced by foreigners. The Jews who claim to know God, rejecting Christ. The foreigners, the Gentiles, who did not know God, yet knowing God. But this is what happened. as the lepers were on their way to show themselves to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, they were cleansed. Jesus demonstrating another dimension of his power. Not just power to heal, but power to heal from a distance. And that to say, Jesus was no ordinary being. He was God. He could show mercy. He could heal and heal from a distance. And I would like to draw this point for us who are sinners in this sojourn, in this experience of ours. The Lord has commanded us to go and show ourselves to the priest, even to himself. We have come to Christ. But somehow, we do not feel that the leprosy has gone. Sin still sticks to us like sweat in humid weather. We are on the way, and the leprosy is still with us. Every day we feel our leprosy. The Christian is on the way, they are on the journey to go meet with the high priest, but they still see the weaknesses in the members of their flesh. They feel that they cannot walk straight as they now walk because their limbs are deformed, were deformed because of leprosy. That's what leprosy does. They see that they do not look good in the mirror because leprosy has taken some of their facial features, deformed their nose and their lips. They see that they do not have much righteousness filling in their flesh because leprosy destroys the nerves. It makes your body numb. Leprosy is notorious for numbing your senses so that you don't feel when you are hurting yourself. And sinners, we don't feel much of the time when we are hurting ourselves because of sin. We feel like Paul says, in my flesh, there's nothing good that dwells because our body parts, our flesh has been made numb to righteousness. But somewhere along the way, we shall see that we have truly been made clean. Yes, Christ does not lie. The Lord will see to it. Yes, we'll die and end this life feeling like the Lord did not make us clean. But by the time that we'll make it to him, by the time that we shall meet with the priest, we shall be clean. We shall see that we were already clean by the word that he spoke, as Jesus said to his disciples in John 15. He said to them, you are all clean. You are clean by the word that I have spoken. And here Jesus spoke again and said, go and show yourself to the priest. Of course, in John 15, Jesus did not include Judas. Judas was never counted among those who were clean. Even Peter, with all his foot and mouth problems, was pronounced clean by Jesus. That's wonderful news. Verse 15 of Luke 17. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. Yet one of them realized along the way that he had been made whole. He had been made clean. He had been justified. He thought to change course and come back to the one who had caused his healing, and that is true repentance. Coming to Christ and thanking him alone for an accomplished healing. The man came to do what? What did the man come to do? He came back to glorify God. That is what Jesus said. To glorify God with a loud voice. So what did he do? Verse 16. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. The man fell down on his face at Jesus' feet. And that to say, he worshipped Jesus, and Jesus did not rebuke him. Jesus accepted being worshipped because Jesus was God and is God. Jesus was God being worshipped and glorified by this Samaritan leper. My dear friends, salvation from sin is for the glory of God, as he pronounces us clean before him. This matter about sin is not understood. Sin was to the glory of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our high priest and sacrifice, to cleanse us by his blood, and then to pronounce us clean, and for him to be glorified for doing so. But we are told by Luke that this man was a Samaritan. So Jew and Gentile, both under sin, both have leprosy, both banished because of leprosy, both unclean. But even with that, the Jewish guys still thought they were somewhat better than the Samaritan, even though they were all banished with leprosy. Yes, even in church, some still think they are better sinners than others. Even in the leper colony, there was a pecking order. There were some, even with leprosy, who thought were better than others. But when it comes to sin and judgment, Jew and Gentile are the same. For there is none righteous, no, not one. Jew and Gentile don't have a different way of salvation. They have to be served the same way. If they should be saved, they have to be saved by Christ. They have to be saved by the blood of the cross. The Samaritan looked back to Christ, looked back to the source and cause of his healing. The Samaritan was despised by the Jews naturally as a half-breed, as unclean, as a heretic, because the Samaritans only held to the five books of the law. They considered much of the Old Testament as heresy. And so the Jews despised them for that. They despised them for their being a mixed breed of people, as being heretics and as being unclean. And yet with that, both Jew and Gentile, lepers in leper village. And it is this despised person, or it was this despised person who came back to give honor to Jesus for his salvation from leprosy. And God had a point to teach with this, that the Jews were still not acknowledging Jesus for who he was. And yet, the foreigners understood what Jesus meant, salvation. They despised those who did not trust in their heritage. They came back to Christ and honor him for salvation. So great a salvation. The Jewish lepers still had confidence in the priesthood of the law, not in the priesthood of Christ, who alone could make and pronounce them as clean. So once they went to Moses, they did not come back to Jesus. They went to Moses and never came back to Jesus because they were trusting in Moses, as Jesus taught in John 5, verse 42 and following. The one who shall accuse you is Moses, whom you trust. Moses talked about me. If you believed Moses, you would have come to me. If these Jews, these leper, the nine lepers, if they believed Moses, they should have stayed with Jesus. They should have stayed and followed Jesus, but they went back to Moses. Do you hear the preaching of Jesus? Jesus is no ordinary preacher, my friends. He loads a lot of gospel just from things that you will not even be able to pick it out. Let us hear from Jesus. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Jesus, you know. Jesus answered to the appearance of the Samaritan, the return of the Samaritan to him, and said, what happened to the 9? Of course, he knew what happened to the 9. They were healed, but they still had pride. They were healed physically, but they were not healed spiritually. They were not turned back to come to Christ. They were healed physically and went to Moses. You can't just come to Christ. God has to turn you to come to Christ. Faith turns you away from Moses to come to Christ. In this particular context, they went to the wrong priest. The priest they really needed was Jesus, whom they were leaving behind. Jesus was the one who could pronounce them as clean. And the Samaritan, being a Gentile and never being under the law, did not go to Moses because he had nothing to prove to Moses. Moses was never the priest for Gentiles. Moses was never the priest for Gentiles. Christ always. So us who are represented in the Samaritan, we do not go to Moses. We do not go to Moses. We come back to Christ. We come to Christ. Christ was enough for the Samaritan. Christ was good enough to heal him and to pronounce him as clean. And that means to justify him. And so he came back to Christ. The other 9 still had confidence in Moses, who did not heal them, and yet continued back to him and did not even think to come back to say, thank you, Jesus. A lot of people, a lot of reformed so-called people will say we have to go back and give thanks to Moses. That's right. Go back to Moses. What did Jesus say? Verse 18 of Luke 17. Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this one? Except this foreigner who had no claim to law keeping, this foreigner who was despised, he came back to give glory to God. And that helps us with a very important question. What does God require of a sinner who has been made clean? A sinner who has been saved? Men who say law keeping as a rule of life. My friends, that is what the 9 lepers did. And Jesus was not happy with them, even though it is he who commanded them to go to Moses, to go to the priest. But Jesus did not say which priest. Jesus did not tell them which priest to go to. He just said, go and show yourself to the priest. Jesus was not contradicting himself. He was showing his sovereignty in the matter of salvation. But Jesus says, no, come to me. Come and give glory to God for your healing. Give glory to God for your salvation. Don't go back to Moses. And many minimize the matter of giving glory to God. Going back to Moses is not giving glory to God, my friends. The 9 lepers did it. And Christ was offended. The Samaritan did not go. He came back to Christ, and Christ was pleased. What did Jesus say to the Samaritan? Verse 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Jesus said to the Samaritan, who was still at Jesus' feet, arise, stand up, get up, and go your way. Arise, Samaritan, you now have a standing with God. Arise, you stand, because you have been justified from your leprosy. You now have a standing with God. Jesus did not say, you rise and follow the other guys back to Moses. No. He said, go your way. Go home, man, because the Samaritan would not have known where to find the Jewish priest. No, go your way home. Your faith has made you well. The faith of the man was in Christ who healed him, demonstrated by the fact that he came back to Jesus to glorify God. The Samaritan then was made well in a different way than the other nine. The Samaritan was made well because he looked to the proper object of faith, Christ Jesus. He came back and glorified God for his grace, that is being made well in a salvific way. The other nine lepers were physically cleansed, but probably their sins were not forgiven, but that is just my speculation. But we know this for sure. We know for sure that the faith that makes well comes back to Jesus. It comes back to glorify God for all things. Salvation. The faith that makes well looks to Jesus and glorifies God for his mercy, for his grace. It doesn't talk about you and your choice and you name it, your will and the things that are doing for Jesus. What we have to say to all these things? The sinner is one who knows that they are a leper, full of leprosy, not just having some spots here and there. They live in the leper village. They know of their days in the leper village, the days of their uncleanness. They know they could not come to Christ of their own. They stood at a distance. They did not come to Christ. Christ came to them outside the camp. Christ finds his leprosy-infected people outside the camp because he died outside the camp to put their sin away. He made them well. He cleansed them from all sin. What can make me whole again? Some will prescribe the law of Moses. Some will say, you do your best. But we say nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? The song says nothing but the blood of Jesus. And precious is the flow, the Mount Calvary flow that makes me white as snow. White as snow from your leprosy. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's only the blood, my friends. It's only the blood of Christ that makes for atonement of sins. My dear friends, the question to you is, which leper are you? Are you among the nine lepers who, when they received the healing, went back to Moses, went back to the law? Or are you the kind of leper that comes back on account of your healing, on account of being justified, comes back to Christ and honors God and stays with Christ? My dear friends, that is the message of Christ to his people who are afflicted by the leprosy of sin. Yes, we are unclean in ourselves. We are lepers. But we thank God for the Jesus who has an itinerary that passes through the leper village. You better be in the leper village. You better be found in the leper village. Because the Christ came only for those who are found outside the camp, found in the leper colony. Apostle Paul says this, of those who used to be in the leper colony. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Why is it that they will not inherit the kingdom of God? It is not because of those sins. It is because of unbelief. It is because they don't have the righteousness of Christ. Let's see if my thinking is correct. Verse 11. And such were some of you. So you used to be all those things. And such were some of you. You used to be fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, and homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, and drunkards, revilers, extortioners. How did you get from that? How did you get from that to be called the redeemed of the Lord, to be called the faithful of Christ or the faithful in Christ? And such were some of you. That's you in the leper colony. But what happened? What happened? What made the change? What made you to be counted among the righteous? Was it because you became a better person? What is it that made you different from the rest? What does the text say? Verse 11 again of 1 Corinthians 6. And such were some of you, but you were washed. But you were sanctified. Someone did this. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That's the gospel, my friends. You were washed. You were sanctified, you were justified, which means all those things were not imputed to you on account of Christ. That's the scandal of the gospel. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. That's Psalm 32. Blessed man and woman, the Lord does not impute all of those sins to them because those sins were imputed to Christ. So we have freely been made the righteousness of God in Christ. No need to stand from a distance before God. For Christ has reconciled us. Christ has washed us and made us clean and pronounced us clean. He has perfected us forever by the one offering of himself. And that is say, amen. And to say we are done. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless you. We thank you for yet another wonderful message of Christ, who he is and what he has done to come to us who were lepers, who were unclean, who had torn clothes because of our sin, and now has made us whole, has made us clean, he has justified us, sanctified us. And he has brought us near to God. We who are far off. We thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray and honor you for everyone who has listened to this message and shall listen. Bless them with the ability to comprehend these wonderful things. Cause the people to learn to eat not just the milk of the things of Christ, but the real meat of the gospel. I pray and honor you in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.